I'm hungry too.
I'm starving. So during this podcast, if my stomach growls, it's just real life, baby.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields.
If I had a good singing voice, I would sing the theme to Welcome Back, Cotter. Not that I ever watched that show.
Welcome back.
I knew you would know it because that's kind of your age range.
What's happening, Mr. Cotter?
That's not really mine. Anyway, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back, Scott Slatton, to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me back, Casey.
Listen, thanks
after an extended absence visiting with our federal delegation in Washington, D.C.
Thank you for making time in your super busy schedule to appear on my measly little podcast.
Well, I really appreciate it. We all have sacrifices. So.
Well, I tell you what, you're just jammed and slammed with all of your engagements and traveling, and it's going to be hard to keep you on, man.
Long holiday weekend, though.
Very much so.
It'll be the first weekend I've been home and several.
Everybody, so. We are recording this on Wednesday. We wanted to give you the freshest of the fresh information. The Senate was in session yesterday, Tuesday, and we're going to go over several things that happened in the Senate and what we expect for next week. Is that
I hope so.
Accurate?
Like we're crossing our fingers.
We're crossing fingers
but
to see.
All indications are that we are moving forward, so that's
right.
Good.
Hopefully about to land this plane. Hopefully about to bring this session to a close. And I can't even believe I said that out loud.
Yeah, don't say it out loud.
Because then it'll go into July, and I'll be sad.
Yeah.
All right, Scott. Let's talk about the abortion bill in the Senate.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, so the House. The Senate passed their version.
Senate Bill 474.
Right. Yep. They passed their version a while ago.
Yeah.
The House just took it up.
Didn't the House passed its own version.
That's correct.
Of an abortion bill that the Senate put the ictionay on.
That's right.
And then they passed this 474.
Mm-hmm. They passed that
February.
Before. Yeah,
yeah.
Before. And then the House didn't really love that bill. They passed their own version.
Because it wasn't a total ban.
That's correct. And then the Senate, they were not going to accept a total ban.
So the Senate's bill, 474, proposes a six-week ban on abortions.
That's the heartbeat.
If you can detect a heartbeat,
right,
which is around 6 weeks, then you would not be allowed to have one except under some circumstances.
Certain rape, incest, exceptions. Fetal anomaly, and life.
And that's
mother.
Only up to 12 weeks.
Right. That's correct.
So the Senate sent that version of the bill to the House in February. The House ignored it.
That's correct.
Sent its own more...
it's a tighter version. Tighter, it's definitely...
It's more... a total ban abortion.
Right.
Senate said, no, we're not going to pass that. That's when Senator Shane Massey, the Republican majority leader from Edgefield, repeatedly said that he did not have the votes to pass that bill. So in desperation, I'll say, the House took up Senate Bill 474, even though they didn't necessarily think that that was the best idea.
Correct.
And they amended it, and then sent it back to the Senate, who debated it all day yesterday.
Right, all day yesterday. There were, I don't know, 40 or so amendments, I believe, on the bill.
That was before cloture?
That was before.
After cloture, yeah.
And then they invoked cloture, which means they limit time on the amendments and limit time speaking for and against the bill. And then eventually, I believe the vote was 27 to 19.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think they, in fact, restricted it to only five amendments on each side. So you had a potential, only a total for a total of 10 amendments.
Right.
And debate is limited to 5 minutes for and against. And then they eventually, they did they put up five each? I don't know if they did. It was kind of hard to keep up.
I know that they eventually concurred on the House changes.
Version.
Yeah, the House changes to the Senate version of the bill, which dealt with minor, the permission for a minor if there is not a parent available.
Mm-hmm.
And it also dealt with child support beginning at conception.
And, you know, Senator Katrina Sheely from Lexington, from Red Bank,
mm-hmm.
had said if they change so much as a semicolon,
right.
that the Senate would not accept that. The House did change it, of mm-hmm. course.
Well, they voted against it. There were 19 folks that voted.
But then on the floor yesterday, Senator Sandy Sin from Charleston made an accusation that perhaps a deal had been cut with the House in order to get the votes that were needed to pass this bill.
Interesting.
She specifically called out Senator Massey to say that he had cut a deal with House leaders, and I would have to guess with other senators,
right.
in order to get the votes to pass this bill.
Well, the bill's passed. It's Governor McMaster has said repeatedly that he will sign it.
Yes.
And then the Planned Parenthood organization,
yes.
Greenville, I believe, they have repeatedly said that they will also file an injunction. And
as soon as the governor signs it,
and it will be right back where we were last year.
But the effort that the Senate went through yesterday was to try and address the flaws that the state Supreme Court found in the previous 6-week abortion ban law that was enacted and passed last year and that was ultimately overturned. And of course, as we all know, Justice Kay Hearn, now retired Justice Kay Hearn, is
right.
no longer on the state Supreme Court. She was replaced by
Justice
Gary Hill,
that's right.
who is more sympathetic to
the pro-life cause, would you say?
The pro-life cause, yes.
You wouldn't say that's why he was elected to the bench, would you, Scott?
Well, that was several senators. In fact, Tom Davis said yesterday that the exercise they went through yesterday was an attempt to dispel that as a theory
mm-hmm.
or as an accusation, because he wanted to make sure that the other dissenting voice, Justice John Few, would be satisfied with the work that they did yesterday to address mm-hmm. some
the
of the
concerns that he wrote
that
in.
That he wrote in his opinion. And not to make it look like just because there's no women on the Supreme Court, that yes, the Senate did its due diligence and the House did its due diligence and addressed the matter. So we'll see. We'll see. It's by no means over yet.
No.
And I, Scott, I believe,
while 6 weeks is extremely early, I don't think that the legislators that are in favor of a total ban, I do not believe that they will quit.
No. In fact, Senator Richard Cash from Anderson said as much on the floor when he was talking about one of the amendments yesterday. He said,
right.
this is a flawed bill. I'll take it for now, but this is not good enough. This is not over.
As a woman in South Carolina, as a mother, I just have to thank the sister senators, the bipartisan. And it's what I really appreciated was the bipartisan nature, whether I agreed or not,
mm-hmm.
but it was people working together for a common cause, and that, you know, for freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the bipartisanship. We don't get a lot of that. And when you work across party lines to come up with a compromise that not everybody's thrilled with, but it's still good for the people. Now, I have my opinion about that, but this is not a show about social issues.
Right. Well,
I should start my own show, like a spinoff.
I mean,
Mr. Producer, are you available?
But Casey, I mean, this just points out this, as you just said, this is, and as Senator Cash said, this ain't over.
Right.
This particular element of the culture wars will continue.
That's correct.
And no doubt there will be more other unforeseen culture war issues that will come up and take up very valuable time.
That's right.
with the General Assembly
that people are willing to die on the hill for.
Right.
You know, and speaking of hills,
rather than pass a budget. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
This week's trivia question has to do with hills.
Hills. What kind? The hills are alive.
I knew that was coming.
With the sound of music.
Ah. I'm going to propose this. I'm going to stop
Russell, you
right.
You knew that I was going to do that.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to ask this trivia question.
Yes.
And then I'm going to let you think about it while we talk about the budget.
Okay.
And while we talk about municipal audits.
All right.
What cities and towns in South Carolina have hill in the name?
Ooh, I can think of two right off the top of my head.
That's not enough. So I'm going to give you a minute to think about it.
Okay.
And then...
More than two.
Yes, more than two. More than two.
Interesting. Okay.
More than two.
Let me conjure up my map as I'm wont to do.
Right. All right. Let's talk about the state budget that is yet to exist.
Well, there are competing versions. I mean, we have a state budget that is on paper.
So Joni and I talked about this last week. The conference committee on the budget bill met twice last week.
Yes.
They went through some provisos.
Yes.
And they did not meet again.
Yeah, they
have not met publicly since that meeting. I think it was last Thursday evening.
Yeah, they receded at like 6 thinking they were going to come back. And
right.
Then lo and behold, everybody jetted.
We got word that people were leaving the garage. And so we were all like,
so well, that's
then,
an indication.
And I think we can go too.
They ain't coming back.
We got people leaving the garage. I don't know we need to.
Because that happened after y'all cut the show last week.
Yes,
so
it did.
We didn't have that information.
We had no idea. We were expecting them to come back, adopt the conference report and go.
Our sources on the ground told us
that
Ways and Means Chairman Bruce Bannister had driven away.
Had left the building. And at that point, we were like, well, it's got to go on with him.
I reckon they're not coming back tonight.
So we have two competing versions of the budget, the Senate version and the House version. Mm-hmm. Conference committee was appointed, and they are attempting to work out the differences. The House, I don't know, several weeks ago, passed a CR, or continuing resolution.
Yeah.
Everybody is quite familiar with that from COVID days, where they passed a CR because they were not meeting to get a budget done.
And you municipal officials, just FYI, if you didn't know this, you cannot pass a CR. You've got to pass a budget. The General Assembly can do that for the state.
Excellent,
but
technical assistance point.
Not
there.
You.
So the House passed it a while ago. It's been on the Senate calendar. The Senate approved the resolution yesterday with very little fanfare. They went through, they adopted it. So we have... And let's just clarify, we are not currently operating under a CR.
No.
This is a parachute, mm-hmm. just in case they do not get a budget passed before the end of the fiscal year on June 30.
As Senate Finance Chairman Harvey Peeler yesterday said from Gaffney, he said, I'm a hope for the best, plan for the worst kind of person.
Really appreciate about
so
that
that's
about
why
him.
He advocated really for the passage that. Of a Senate version of a continuing resolution.
So we have that just in case we are jumping out of the airplane and our parachute doesn't work. We have a backup.
The good folks at the Chester Airport, golly, what's the name of that? Carolina Skydive.
They're, you know, I don't.
They do a really good job.
I just don't love it when you go skydiving. It bothers me.
It's quite a thrill.
Yeah,
you
I'm sure
try.
It is. I'm good. I'm good.
Peanut guided me down last time.
That's terrifying. So we expect. We have heard. Let's just say that we have heard that we will have a budget before the end of the fiscal year. That we will not need a continuing resolution. Those are just rumors.
Well, I mean,
but we have heard.
We've got more than a month left.
Plenty of time.
In this current fiscal year
before the
new fiscal year starts July 1st. So there's no reason that they can't do it. As I told a group yesterday in Rock Hill, managers and administrators and others, it's not a matter of not having enough money.
This is
the largest state budget in history.
This is just a matter of not being able to come to common ground.
Right. And of course, it's the public reporting has been that there's a squabble over whether or not to start a veterinarian school at Clemson.
Right. which I really hope they do because my 11-year-old really wants to be a vet, and I would love for him to stay in state.
And, of course, Chairman Peeler is a Clemson grad and a dairy farmer, so...
Of course, he would love to have a vet school.
And but the other you know, less parochial interest is the fact that vet students in South Carolina now have to go out of state.
That's right. They don't have a choice.
They got to go to Georgia or University of Georgia or
Tuskegee.
NC State.
NC State.
Yeah.
They can go. There's a the Virgin Islands has a vet
really?
School.
I don't. I don't know if I'd trust the Virgin Islands veterinarian.
I think that'd
graduate.
Be incredible. I think if Drew went, my son, I think I would be like, well, probably got to go with him.
Well, and I'm all in favor of having native trained vets here in South Carolina. Willow, she's got some loose teeth, the teeth grinding.
She's got
her gums are overgrowing, her little tommy teeth, and it's it's time to we're gonna get it worked on. So she needs she needs all the veterinarian help she can get right now.
That'll help you sleep better at night.
She's just I know she grinds. It's like teeth. It's like nails on a chalkboard when the dog is grinding her teeth at nighttime. When I'm trying to go to sleep, it's brutal.
So we expect a budget. We are preparing for a budget. So we need everybody to just kind of hold tight, I guess, is the best thing. Enjoy your holiday weekend and then be prepared next week for a couple of days of where we are back in session, I believe, on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah. So you would expect that they will have a deal brokered by Tuesday of next week.
So they meet Wednesday.
So that they Senate meet Wednesday, House. Well, will they both come in at the same time?
No. Will come in one day and one will come in the other. Probably House Wednesday, Senate Thursday.
Okay. All right. So
that's what we're thinking.
That's the order then. And they'll have to vote on the conference report. Because that's an up or down vote.
But then they'll also have to come back to deal with gubernatorial vetoes.
But they could wait until January to do that.
Oh, they could. But I think they just... But from what Speaker Smith has said on the floor... He's ready to wrap this up, put a bow on it, and go
surely
work in their full-time jobs.
Governor McMaster will exercise his line item veto on the budget.
Right.
And so, as we've talked about before, in order for entities to get the earmarks, if he vetoes some of those, which I'm sure he will, many of them, they won't have access to that unless the General Assembly overrides those vetoes.
That's correct.
Before the start of the fiscal year.
That is correct.
They don't want to wait until January. But hopefully they'll... get in and get out.
That would be ideal.
As quickly as they can before, because now we're pushing the session into June.
Right, right.
It's going to go into June already.
Back to the original date from years ago.
That's a good point.
Scott, tell me a little bit about Senate 31.
Speaking of overrides,
let's talk about Senate Bill 31. Everybody remembers we've talked about this bill a lot. This bill would allow municipalities with a population of less than... annual budget less than $500,000 to provide a financial compilation instead of a full-blown audit.
Yes.
To hopefully break the cycle of not being able to turn something in because you can't afford it, losing your local government fund money that could possibly help you afford an audit, and then you get into arrears with the state in providing your yearly audit.
Well, and even more importantly, incentivizing or... allowing those cities, those small cities and towns mostly, to prepare something.
Correct.
To
show transparency. For
transparent reasons to show their financials, which, I mean, they could do, but there's, unless a professional CPA, which the bill requires.
Right.
That a CPA prepare this report and, you know, sign off on it, not necessarily certify it, but say, yes, you know, I've prepared this information in accordance with the agreed upon procedures that the state auditor, George Kennedy, is going to come up with.
Right.
That's the next step in the process. We got to get the bill enacted into law. Where we're getting nothing from those towns today, this will hopefully prompt them to get us something.
Right.
And that point was made yesterday when Senator Brad Hutto from Orangeburg presented the governor's veto message to the Senate.
That's correct. And then he, in several procedural moves, he, what you call waive the printing or waive the rule that it has to stay on the calendar for 24 hours.
Right.
Nobody objected to it. He used a unanimous consent request.
Mm-hmm.
And then he... It was placed on the calendar under, you know, veto messages.
Right.
And then once they went through the calendar and they got back to that, he and also Senator Danny Verdin from Lawrence both explained the benefits of the bill and why it is so needed and will be so helpful.
As did Senator Shane Martin from Pauline.
That's exactly right. Yep. And so then then Senator Hutto just asked for a unanimous consent to override. Senator Thomas Alexander, the president of the Senate, was like, oh, that's not exactly how that works. Then he asked for unanimous consent to use the last unanimous roll call to be applied to that veto, no objection. And so the override was unanimous. It now goes back to the House to have a vote as well.
It was unanimous consent to use the previous unanimous vote to override the veto, which is pretty cool.
Right. It was pretty.
That's a strong message.
That's a strong override there.
Senator Verdin seemed almost a little irritated that the governor had vetoed this bill. And I'll tell you, I've got the governor's veto message here in my.
Oh, look at that in your hand.
My formerly nicotine stained fingers.
Did you just unfurl it or was that just you shaking?
Well, no, it's just me shaking. Okay, that's something that he used to do.
He would sound effect.
And this is kind of curious, even though the governor said that he brought this up in his State of the State address or has in the past. He says, I believe current law does not afford the state sufficient oversight of local government's fiscal affairs. Well, I would argue that local governments have that responsibility,
right.
Local elected officials, councils.
Correct.
And I'll hearken back to many years ago when I served on an ad hoc committee when I was a city manager here at the Municipal Association. The association staff put together an ad hoc committee to come up with what we called at that time the Municipal Finance Accountability Act.
That's right.
Which would have addressed a lot of reporting requirements, would have
education and training requirements.
This was a pretty comprehensive bill or an idea anyway that would provide some state oversight sort of, a la the Local Government Commission in North Carolina. And we've talked about the LGC in the past. But he also says he's repeatedly urged the General Assembly to expand the State Inspector General's investigative jurisdiction to include local governments. So it's a little accusatory.
Yeah.
And then I'm not sure what they read in the bill, but he goes on to say that he thinks this would allow cities with revenues of more than $500,000 to not have to do an audit, which I just don't read that. I don't believe it was written.
I don't think that was the intention or the interpretation.
And then he also, and I hate to say this, but he incorrectly says that S-31 would eliminate the specific statutory requirement that a municipality's annual independent external audit be required for cities that have a court. That is absolutely incorrect.
Right.
The law, that bill specifically requires cities that have less than 500,000, but also a court to conduct an audit under the current law requires that.
Right.
So,
that doesn't change current law.
Yeah. If you've got a court, then you have to do an independent annual audit,
right?
Particularly of the court fines and fees, and the submission of that to the court administration. So, I'm not sure where he and his staff read that, but I'm glad that the Senate overrode it. We've been in contact with our advocates and proponents in the House, who've said, "Hey, it's our intent to ensure that the House overrides the veto as well." So,
right, and I
can't remember exactly when what the effective date is. Maybe upon the governor's signature, but if he's vetoed it,
then upon override, probably.
Upon override would have to be procedurally, I guess, when it goes
into
effect, right?
And then Scott, right after that, that is when we have to develop procedures
yes. That's right.
With the state auditor.
Correct.
That's correct.
Yes. And we've been working with the state auditor, George Kennedy, on this bill for a couple of years. And so every step of the way, and in fact, this bill was endorsed by the state treasurer, Curtis Loftus, as well. So,
right.
You know, it's not like this is something that just cities and towns have come up with. We've been collaborating with state elected officials and appointed officials who are in the finance game and gotten their blessing on it. So
yeah,
I don't see any reason why the House should not override the veto when they get the chance. Hopefully when they come back
next week. So it is effective upon approval. So it would be affected. It would be
once
effective
once
override.
Override. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
and because it was overridden by the originating body, it goes to the House. If it wasn't, then it would have just been overridden and dead.
And of course, this is simply an option for those smaller towns.
Right. This is not a have to. They can do a full blown audit if they want to.
They can do a full blown audit.
Right.
That's right. So there's 70 some odd towns right now that have not submitted any kind of financial information to the treasurer's office. And hopefully this will reduce that number significantly.
And we're going to keep going on the podcast. We've got some good content coming, but we're going to keep going on the reporting. We're going to keep telling you what's going on as long as they're in session.
Yeah.
So expect this for the next week or so, I think.
Yeah, at least.
And then if we can get everybody together in one place, or maybe even we do a Brady Bunch Teams call.
Could do that.
And record a podcast and get everybody to.
We're still doing that stuff?
What, Teams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've become quite proficient with the Teams. I'm very proud of you.
I would like that to be noted in my personnel file, please. And possibly in my year-end review. As it has been previously noted that I refuse to use Teams, that is not the case anymore.
We'll have to talk about your usage of the newly installed LED lighting in our
offices.
Well,
then I could talk about yours as well, because the power bill will be greatly reduced. And
yes.
I think Mr. Producer doesn't use them either. So
yeah.
I think we're
being told we'll get used to them, but
right.
They're tough.
It's hard on the eyes.
They're pretty bright.
It's hard on the eyes.
I wear my sunglasses
at night
in the office. Yeah.
Scott, have you had a chance to think about the trivia question?
Not really, because I've been talking, but I got two right off the top of my head that I think I know I can get.
Okay, what cities and towns, let me remind the listener what our question is. What cities and towns in South Carolina have Hill in the name?
Well, the first two are very easy. Rock Hill,
mm-hmm.
Holly Hill.
Okay, very good.
Let me think now. Give me a clue.
You go get a little smaller.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Then Rock Hill. I think when you started off big, and then we went a little bit smaller in Holly Hill. The next two were considerably small. I want you to take a trip on maybe I-20 over to the PD.
Yes. Society Hill.
That's right, mm-hmm. In Darlington County.
Yep.
And then I want you to maybe get on I-26 toward Greenville. And head up toward that way. Not really Greenville, the other, like, kind of just up 26. It toward that area, toward the upstate.
Golly.
Not all the way to the upstate, but on the way to the upstate.
Which county is it in?
Lawrence County.
Oh, Cross Hill, of course.
Correct.
Yes, yes, yes.
Cross Hill. So you've got four
cities
and towns in South Carolina that have Hill in the name.
Oh, that's
Cross
it.
Hill, Holly Hill, Rock Hill. And Society Hill.
I should have known Cross Hill because that used to be in my field service territory. Who was the mayor there for years?
Randy?
No. Golly, I can't remember. I know exactly where Cross Hill is. I've been there many times.
You know, a lot of people might confuse Cross Anchor, which is just a community.
Cross Anchor is
Cross
the
Hill.
Home of the Godfrey family, especially Ronnie Godfrey, who was my fire chief in Woodruff. Ronnie was a highway patrolman when he first started in his public safety career, and then he was an arson investigator for SLED.
Okay.
Then he retired, and then was my fire chief in Woodruff. Very great guy. Then his son Wade was a fire chief and a fire coordinator in Lawrence County for a number of years. Was in Charleston. I think he was in Charleston during the Charleston 9 fire too. I can't remember.
Anyway, I would like to extend certainly our thoughts and prayers to Police Chief, City of Charleston,
yes.
Police Chief Luther Reynolds family.
Terrible.
What a loss to that community and
yep.
to the profession. He was a wonderful leader and even better example.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, it's probably not the right thing to say, but it's going to be nice to see the tributes. I think they've got something scheduled for Sunday in the city.
I think so. He's just a wonderful, wonderful person. And really,
I think he's left a great legacy. So
a great legacy. And from everything that I've seen, his officers really loved working for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Anything else we need to discuss? Scott, baseball's winding down a little bit. Soccer has ended. Things are starting to slow down just a little bit.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, Casey. I'm looking at my notes here, and I think we've covered everything.
Notes. Let's just everybody realize that. Use that term loosely.
Are there notes? They're reminders.
They're just
of what
little
I'm
jot downs.
I'll be in Georgetown tomorrow.
On Thursday.
Thursday, talking to another group of administrators and managers. So, we will be talking about for sure the short-term rental issues and bills, and hopefully we'll have some good news after next week when they adopt the budget on that bad proviso. We'll just have to see.
Well, we'll be back next week with all the details on the budget. Thanks, everybody.
Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.